Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Suprea Lifesciences Limited Q1 FY 2027 earnings call. As a reminder, all participants' line will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. I now hand over the conference over to Ms. Sneha Salian from EY Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Harsh. A warm welcome to all the participants to the Suprea Lifesciences Limited Q1 FY 2027 earnings conference call. The investor presentation and the financial results are available on the company website and on the stock exchanges. Please note, anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which can be construed as a forward-looking statement must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. This conference call is being recorded, and the transcript, along with the audio of the same, will be made available on the website of the company as well as on the exchanges. Please also note that the audio of the conference call is the copyright material of Suprea Lifesciences Limited, and it cannot be copied, rebroadcasted, or attributed in the press or media without specific and written consent of the company. To give you a brief business update and to take you through the results, from the management team, we have Dr. Saloni Varg, Managing Director, Ms. Shivani Varg, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Krishna Raghunathan, Chief Financial Officer. I would now request Ms. Shivani Varg to provide you with a brief update on the quarter. Over to you, ma'am.
Good morning, everyone. I am Shivani Varg, Joint Managing Director of Suprea Lifesciences Limited. It is a pleasure to welcome you all to our quarter one FY 2027 earnings call. I hope you have had the opportunity to review our results and investor presentation. With that, let me take you through our quarterly performance. Revenue for the quarter stood at 190 crores, reflecting a 31% year-on-year growth. Demand remained strong during the quarter, but water shortages led to a deferment of sales of around 35 crores. I will touch upon this in more detail later. During the quarter, the EBITDA stood at 47 crores, a decline of 8.1% year-on-year, with EBITDA margins at 25%. Before we move forward, let me explain the reasons for the decline in margins during the quarter. It was a combination of factors that coincided during the period and are mostly temporary in nature. Firstly, the delayed onset of the monsoon led to water scarcity in the region surrounding our plant. Our facility, located in the Lote MIDC area, depends on water supplied from the Koyna River. Due to lower than normal water levels, the entire Lote MIDC industrial belt faced a significant water shortage. This led to delay in sales, as highlighted earlier. Second, Maharashtra government changed the solar power policy, which led to increased fuel and power costs during the quarter. This alone had an impact of 8 crores at EBITDA levels. These challenges were largely external and transient in nature. Excluding these one-off impacts, margins would have remained within our guided range. We believe these are temporary disruptions, and with operations stabilizing, we expect performance to improve in the coming quarters while remaining firmly on track to achieve our FY 2027 growth and margin objectives. Moving to our geographical performance, exports continued to be a key growth driver, contributing 81% of revenue in Q1 FY 2027. Within exports, Asia contributed 39%, followed by Europe at 35% and LATAM at 20%. Our core strategy of backward integration continued to progress, and currently we have 72% of total revenues fully integrated. Now coming to our new product launches. We launched two new anesthetic liquid inhalation products in Q2 FY 2027 from our Ambernath facility, and we expect them to scale up over the coming quarters. In addition, we have two ADHD product launches in the pipeline, which will further strengthen our portfolio and support future growth. On the contrast media opportunity, we remain on track with development and continue to progress as planned. We expect the product to be launched in H2 FY 2027. As for the products launched in FY 2026, we continue to see encouraging traction. Our cardiovascular product launch in Q3 FY26 has ramped up well. The ADHD product continues to scale up, supported by healthy demand from LATAM and Europe, and we expect the momentum to continue. Our liquid anesthetic product remains on track with steady monthly supplies. In summary, we would like to reiterate that our trajectory towards the 1,000 crore revenue milestone by FY27 remains firmly on track, supported by a robust product pipeline and a sustained demand across key therapeutic segments, including anesthetics, anti-diabetics, anti-anxiety, vitamins, and ADHD. We remain confident of our guidance of EBITDA margins in the range of 33% to 35%. However, as highlighted in our earlier call, growth is expected to be non-linear across quarters. Furthermore, we would like to highlight that we have revisited our earlier plan to undertake the annual maintenance shutdown for blocks A to D in August, and we believe that we can undertake the maintenance in the phased manner instead of a complete shutdown. Hence, it will not impact our Q2 FY27's production in any major way. With that, I now invite our CFO, Mr. Krishna Raghunathan, to take you through the detailed financial performance for Q1 FY27. Thank you.
Thank you, Shivani. Good morning, everyone. Let me take you all through the operational highlights of the quarter, following which we will open the floor for questions and answers. For Q1 FY27, the company reported revenue from operations of Rs. 190 crores as against Rs. 145 crores in Q1 FY26, a growth of 31% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 47 crores as against Rs. 52 crores in Q1 FY26, a degrowth of 8.1% year-on-year, and EBITDA margin stood at 25% for Q1 FY27. As mentioned by our Joint Managing Director, margins during the quarter were impacted by temporary cost headwinds, primarily higher solvent and power costs. These factors resulted in an additional operating cost of approximately Rs. 10.5 crores. Excluding these impacts, EBITDA margins would have remained within our guided range. Importantly, these are largely transient in nature and we remain confident of delivering our FY27 growth and margin guidance. PAT stood at Rs. 24 crores as against Rs. 35 crores in Q1 FY26. PAT margins stood at 12.7% for Q1 FY27. Our CAPEX for Q1 FY27 stood at Rs. 16.58 crores, driven by spend on maintenance CAPEX, smaller projects, formulation plan requirements, and Isambe project. On the Patalganga land, as our joint MD has updated, we have received all necessary clearances and will be developing the facility in phases. The project will include two API but advanced intermediate blocks and two formulation blocks. The total CAPEX earmark for this facility is around Rs. 200 crores for phase one. On borrowings, we would like to report that for the full year, we have not utilized any working capital limits except for a letter of credits and bank guarantees. With that, we can open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. Our first question is from the line of Aditya Pal, MSA Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Hi, thank you so much for the opportunity. Last part of my questions have already been answered. Just one question on the Patalganga. So, just wanted to understand your viewpoint on why there is a delay in the breaking of land and starting the construction at Patalganga, because at this point of time, we only have Lote Parshuram, which is also the kind of capexes that we're doing with Block F, it's chock-a-block and Ambernath, will also get completed by, say, by 29-30. And a greenfield, particularly in pharma, takes at least 3 to 4 years to come up. So just wanted to understand how you're thinking about this.
Aditya, we have started already building the boundary walls. In fact, that is something which has already started. So technically, we have broken the ground. I think we need to, if at all, the understanding there. So we have started the work already in Isambe, and the process of constructing the wall is in full swing.
Understood. Understood. So the phase one, are we expecting a particular timeline that the completion of the construction should happen by, say, a particular set timeline? The API blocks, formulation block, and the warehouse, which is 200 crores of investment in phase one.
We would be looking at API block to start with. That would be the first thing which we would be building along with the utility blocks. I think these would be the ones which would be coming up for 200 crores. I don't think formulation can start immediately. See, we would around, say, right from the acquisition, around 2 and a half years, we should have a 40% completion as per MIDC. I think we will take care of all those legal requirements also while doing our construction. That process also need to be taken care of, which we will take care of.
Also to add to Krishna's point, the first focus in Patalganga would be at the API level because we are already now closer to exhausting the capacity at Lote. Of course, we will be taking up minor refurbishments at Lote, which will further enhance the capacity. But for the next couple of launches, which are the larger molecules, we would be looking at Patalganga as a scale-up place. So the first focus would be on API. Ambernath is not yet in full swing. So for the finished formulation, CMO, CDMO, we anyways have a facility available where the scale-up will happen in the next two to three years. So the finished formulations would be considered in a phase-wise manner in phase two at Patalganga.
Understood. Just one last question before I come back in the queue. In terms of Ambernath, so now, have you got any mails or messages from the EU team that when they can come and audit on when we can really start generating revenues for the EU, the regulated markets? I know it's WHO cGMP already, but from the regulated markets, when would it be possible?
So we have already received the dates for audit from EU at Ambernath's facility. The audit is scheduled in the second half of November.
Perfect. Best of luck. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Next on the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah. Just one bookkeeping question and one question on contrast media. See, you mentioned the two temporary issues. One, I understand water, which is not in your hand, but over a longer term, as we see these issues rising, what are we thinking to de-risk ourselves? And secondly, on the power part, you mentioned on the solar subsidy. So is it like a one-time cost which had come in, or that would, or my idea was that this cost will sustain for a longer term? So if you can just help me understand, why do you think the solar subsidy is a one-time thing?
See, there are two things on solar subsidy. I think the government is asking even to pay from July 25. So for all those things, they are collecting the back numbers today in the four-month period between March to July. They had collected. So that is where that part is one time. See, the other part, whatever it is, the increase in the prices or due to the, what do you call, reduction in TODRs, that we will be passing it on to our customers. That is something which we are really going to do about it. So that would be the total answer for your solar subsidy.
So what is the prospective? Just one minute. On this retrospective amount which we have paid, what would be the quantum?
See, this would be somewhere around 4.5 crores at this stage. So in fact, there is a, what do you call, the matter is also sub judice. There is a case which is running on around in that wherein all the solar power association members have, what do you call, come around and they have filed a case against the MSC this year.
Okay, fine. And on the water part?
On the water part, I mean, this is the first incident that we have faced on scarcity of water in that particular area, because the area where the facility is located normally receives one of the highest rainfalls across the state of Maharashtra. So this is the first time we have faced this issue. We are working with a lot of consultants on how we can further take up recycling of water. Because we are into API manufacturing, we can't use recycled water in our end product. But at least for the utility part of it, the cooling towers and all, how we are able to do that, that effort is ongoing. So a lot of work with consultants is now ongoing to further improve the water situation.
Okay. Second question on contrast media. See, what I understand is that here, because there are only 4 or 5 formulators, they many a times have closed and don't share the specifications around the product. So how are we managing that challenge in terms of getting the specifications? And when we look at the commercial, would it be purely for the non-reg market?
So for us, it's a combination of API for the non-regulated market, as well as at Ambernath facility, a lot of the people want to do a tie-up for the finished formulation of IOXON, I mean for the contrast media product, which is the injection. So in that case, we have a good combination between the non-regulated, or I would say semi-regulated markets, as well as regulated markets. Also, I think our biggest issue why the launch has been delayed by 2 quarters is because the R&D is still fine-tuning on the technology part of it. Because there have been multiple variations in the cost of the raw material, we are also looking at alternate process, alternate technology on how we can be cost competitive in the market. Because this is already a generic product which has been in the market for a long time. So the value addition has to come from a better process with better focus on margin. So I think that's the reason why also it has been delayed for 2 quarters.
Okay, and last question if I can squeeze in. See, on this customs issue, in our notes to account on note 3 which we have mentioned. So we've said we've still booked the sales in this quarter. So is this issue resolved now from our end, and future exports are not being impacted, or what is the status here?
So currently the matter is still sub judice. However, one thing I would like to inform everyone is that we have already received the new export authorization from Central Bureau of Narcotics for the same consignment, which in our opinion should regularize this particular export. But because the matter is sub judice, we are still waiting for the results from the High Court. So once we get that, I think this export would be regularized.
But we have booked it in our sales.
It's because the shipping bill for the said consignment is already filed. And because the particular shipping bill is still under investigation, we are not at the, you know, freedom of cancelling that particular shipping bill. So that is one of the main reasons. And the said consignment itself is not a very high value. It is a very small, minuscule value consignment. Also, one thing I would like to reiterate here is that for this particular product, every consignment is accompanied by an export permit. So it is not that it impacts all the other consignments or the entire product itself. It is only limited to this particular consignment.
Fine. Thanks a lot. I'll come back in the queue.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mulesh from Shah and Savla. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Ma'am, in continuation of both these questions of previous participant, may I get some color on still the higher cost related to water and power for the quarter two? And since we say that our annual guidance still remains, so the top line and margin of about 33% to 35% EBITDA, as well as PAT margin of 25% remains on line. So I would like to get some reconfirmation on both these guidance as well as Q2 cost estimates for on account of water and power. That is my first question.
The water issue, like our joint MD mentioned in her speech, the water issue is already resolved. Because of the late onset of monsoon, the water issue impacted us for only about 15-20 days. But during that 15-20 days, we have lost production of almost 30-35 crores equivalent product. But now the water issue is already resolved. We are getting ample water from the Koyna River. And MIDC is also getting the water. So I don't think this would be a recurrent issue in quarter two. Like Krishna said, a large part of the power cost also was slightly retrospective, so that would not come back in quarter two. And whatever operational price increases have happened, along with a lot of other raw material solvent price increases also which have happened in quarter one, all those would be taken into account and they would be passed on to the customers. Because we work on purchase order basis, we have a liberty to pass on the price increases or the operational increases to our customers. So that we will be taking care. And I think that sort of one-off expense which has happened or the additional expenses that have happened in this quarter will not move to quarter two. Now, as so, regards the guidance, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Continue, please.
As regards the guidance, we are still confident that we will be able to make up for this lost 25-30 crores of sales in the coming few quarters. And we are still confident we'll be able to achieve our guidance of closer to 1,000 crores while maintaining the EBITDA margin levels between 32-35%.
Great, ma'am. That's really helpful and that gives us renowned confidence in the company. And on custom front, ma'am, as you said that because of whatever reason we have booked the sale, so have we made any provision against that sales or our view is that no provision is required and once that is resolved, everything will be routine?
At this point of time, like my MD has already said, we had already got the re-export permit from Central Bureau of Narcotics already. So, because of this reason, we haven't had any provision to be made on this front and we believe that this should be resolved amicably.
Okay. And all our other exports are normally happening. I mean, there is no difficulty anywhere due to this expiry of license or whatever renewal was pending or whatever. And I am just wondering how come the renewal of a particular very important license was missed by the our team?
So no, actually let me clarify this. It is not a renewal of license. For the particular product in question, it's a psychotropic drug. For each and every consignment, there is a new import authorization, there is a new export authorization. This new export authorization is only limited to that consignment. It doesn't work across different customers, different countries, or different products. It's just specifically for that particular consignment, that particular country, that particular customer. So it is not that the license had expired and it has a cascading effect on any other customer or any other shipment. It is only limited to that particular shipment.
So we were supposed to get the license for authorization for this export and we did not get it.
No, we had the export authorization. We had all the documents in place as issued by the Central Bureau of Narcotics. There was only a technical lapse of 2 days where there was a human oversight by the logistics department and that the given export authorization has had expired before the shipping bill was raised. It is not a question of not having the document. All the required documents were already in place. It was just a 2-day technical lapse that happened. And now with the new CBN export authorization that we have received, our opinion is that this should regularize that particular export.
Great, great. Thank you, ma'am. In fact, this clarification was required a little earlier also. I would have thought that probably company will come up with some clarification so that, you know, the investors' minds are clarified and clear. So now it is good that you have cleared everything. Thank you so much and I wish you all the very best.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Our next question is from the line of Achal Maheshwari from Naredi Investment. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I just had one question, ma'am. Now that we have our Ambernath facility also coming on board, how much is the depreciation that we expect for the full year basis?
Ambernath alone, I think, would contribute somewhere around 14 to 15 crores here on depreciation. So that you can add up to a regular, I think, should be somewhere around nearing to 35 to 40 crores should be the overall depreciation.
Okay, so thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Abhishek from Padmaja Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, is my voice audible, sir?
Yeah.
Hello, is my voice? Yeah. I have like three questions. What is the status of the general manager? Did he get any pay or not yet?
Abhishek, your voice is a bit muffled.
Yeah. How is it now? I'm asking about the status of the general manager.
Your voice is not clearly audible, sir. If you could, you please use your handset, sir, in case you're using any Bluetooth device. Please use your handset.
Hello. Is it very clear now?
It's
yes,
kind
it
of better, sir. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Okay. Yeah, what is the status of the general manager as of now? Like, is he still behind bars or did he get any pay?
No, like I mentioned, the matter is still sub judice. So they are still in judicial custody.
Okay, and what is the closing inventory as of June 30 in our books?
Somewhere around 230 to 240 crores here. It is on the higher side. See, since in the last quarter, we had planned for taking the maintenance. So we had started building up the inventory. Now that we are revisiting that, so we have to now start slowly liquidating the inventory. With that plans in originally in mind, we had jacked up all the inventories. But now that it is not going to happen like what my joint MD has already suggested, so we will have to now liquidate over the next three to four quarters.
Okay. And this is one small observation. Like if you see, even in the last quarter four or in quarter one, just before the earnings, the stock price is reacting in correlation with the event. I think there is some information spillage that is happening. Maybe try to do something. I don't know if it is possible or not also.
I don't think so. See, this is something which we cannot speculate or talk about anywhere in any forum.
I'm not talking about speculation. I think earnings is somehow being leaked out. That's my observation. Okay. Yeah, that's all. Thanks for the answers.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nirvam Mehta from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My first question, ma'am, is any updates on the CMO contracts that we were expecting?
We have made good progress, specifically on one of the large anesthetic CDMO contract that we are looking at. We are very close to signing of a term sheet. So hopefully in the next quarter, we'll be able to announce something good. But at the back end, a lot of qualification work is now completed. Quality has been approved. So we are making good progress on the CMO, CDMO.
Okay, ma'am. Next, so this quarter, when I look at the therapy mix, vitamins have done really well. So does that mean that the DSM ramp-up is happening? And we also had received the pharma validations, I believe. So have we ramped up the supplies there?
Yes, we have. So I think DSM has now reached a very stable state where we are very close to their peak volumes.
pharma validation is completed. Like I mentioned in the previous calls, we have set up now a dedicated facility for DSM. So that is now up and running. So things are moving very positively in the DSM project.
Okay. And lastly, on the launches that we did last year, the ramp-up is as per our expectation. And so is the ramp-up as per our expectation? And I believe Ambarnath would be the key trigger for those products, right?
So there are two parts to it. The products that we added last year, we also have independent API exposure in a lot of countries. Plus, it will also be used for forward integration at Ambarnath. So we are working on multiple projects across both Ambarnath as well as Lote. We are seeing actually very good traction. Even the cardiovascular advanced intermediate that we launched, it has already commercialized, and we are seeing good traction from domestic market and semi-regulated markets. Even for the anesthetic API that we have launched, at the API level, we are seeing good traction coming in from, I would say, semi-regulated markets like Korea, Taiwan. We have also filed for the CEP, and we are expecting the CEP also to be received somewhere between October to November of this year, which will further boost the sales of those products in regulated markets like Europe. And like I mentioned before, Ambarnath, once I think the EU audit happens in November, that will actually sort of open up the ramp up of products there. But we have commercially launched two anesthetic products from Ambarnath as well.
Okay. And lastly, on the Block F, so have we started work there, and by what time do we expect the block to be up and running?
We haven't started it yet. We will be starting it in the next couple of quarters.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Rachna Kukreja from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just three questions. What drove the sequential improvement in North America market, and is this trend to continue, and which molecules are gaining stronger traction in those markets?
Yes, so like we have mentioned before, we have filed multiple DMFs in North American market. Specifically, we have filed at least 4 to 5 US DMFs, and a lot of the customers have now started picking up the volumes for their validation and everything. So I think that's the reason why we see a slight increase in North American markets. Like we have mentioned before also, I think once the newer products that we are launching scale up, in North America, you will also see the sales going up and the exposure will also go up.
Okay, understood. And if you could call out the revenue contribution from cardiovascular product, as we are saying, it has gained strong traction. So if you could just provide some color on how it has performed in terms of revenue and versus other recently launched products in terms of revenue scale and profit margins as well as competitive positioning.
So we'll not be able to talk in detail about individual product contribution or margin contribution. But I would like to say that in terms of the volume pickup, yes, we are now at almost a commercialized level of manufacturing. The volumes have built up very well in the last couple of months, and we are seeing good traction. But for it to be a larger contributor, it would still take at least 9 to 12 months, because a lot of the customers are still under qualification. They have, you know, done their stability and everything. So for its full effect to happen, I think we are still about 9 months away.
Okay. One last question. Why has the revenue mix from backward integrated products declined, and has that created an impact on EBITDA margins?
See, it is not only backward integrated, the revenue mix has created some of the reduction in EBITDA margin. You would have observed that Europe, the sales were on the lesser side. So it had its own impact on the EBITDA margins.
So it's more of a country-wise mix that has, you know, impacted slightly EBITDA margins. That's the main factor.
Multiple factors, I could say. If you would follow the script, what my joint MD had suggested, see, there were some production losses, and because of which certain of the materials which were supposed to go into regulated markets could not go. It's, I would say, a multiple mix of factors which caused the EBITDA dip. I think that we have elaborated in the speech itself.
Okay, understood.
Thank you. The next question comes from Saloni Singh, who is an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, ma'am. My question is, could you tell us more about the planned shutdown in Q2 and its impact on revenue?
No, like my joint MD mentioned in her speech, initially we had planned a big shutdown in Q2 across multiple blocks. However, we have already lost a lot of production time in Q1 because of the water issues and the other issues. So we have decided to now push back on that shutdown in Q2. What we will be doing is we will be taking up smaller debottlenecking activities across different blocks so as to avoid any larger impact on production. So the planned shutdown will not happen in Q2 anymore.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. My next question is, what are the plans company has to sustain the growth beyond FY27? Is there any guidance for FY28?
No, so we have already said that, you know, we would be growing at a CAGR of about 20% year on year. I think the same trend would continue. And beyond FY27, I think already we are working in multiple directions. We are adding new products to our existing API basket. We are adding newer therapies to make it more robust. We have also added finished formulation vertical at Ambernath, which would start giving revenue after the audit is completed. We also have started entering into CMO-CDMO collaborations both at API, advanced intermediate and finished formulation level. So I think work is happening on a lot of fronts in adding more verticals to the business, more products to the pipeline, plus the Patalganga facility we are investing for capacity building. So keeping in mind all the strong fundamentals and all the areas where we are working, I'm sure the growth will happen in the next 3-4 years.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. One last question. Is there any other employee involved in the matter?
No, there is no involvement of any other employee in any matter.
Regarding the customs matter, ma'am.
So already one person, like we have mentioned before, is in judicial custody. So there is no further...
No, apart from him, is there any other employee?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aditya Pal from MSA Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity again. Saloni, just wanted to understand from you. So you are saying 1,000 crores is still on track. It means that we are seeing really strong demand from our recently launched products. So we can easily do broadly 270, 280 crores per quarter. And that's on track. We don't see any doubts with that. Because that would mean that on a YOY basis, we'll be growing by 30%.
So like I mentioned before also, the fundamentals of the company still remain the same. The new products that we are launching, we are getting good traction. We are already doing a lot of filings in the regulated markets for them to ramp up. Even in the existing portfolio itself, we are seeing good growth. The volumes of the customers across different countries are growing. Ambernath will start contributing to the revenue from this year. So all the fundamentals are still in place, and that's the reason why we feel confident that we should be able to achieve our target. How it will happen and how much of this loss that we have encountered in Q1 we'll be able to recover fully in Q2, that we will have to wait and see. But for the full year, we are still confident we'll be able to achieve that number.
So not so much for Q2, but so much for the full year. Because if, even if we spread out over the next 3 quarters, it's a good comeback that we will make.
Yes.
Perfect. And in terms of you were speaking about our ATH8 product. So is there any change from last time you had said that there's a visibility of easily a 250 tons for this year? Is there any change? Are we seeing lower and then the tonnage will actually be pushed into FY28?
So we had said that the 250 metric ton number will be achieved in the next 2 years' time once it is fully commercialized. We have not guided 250 tons for this particular year because it will be a slow ramp up. It cannot happen that, you know, in 6-7 months of launch of a product, you will get that much traction. The customers also need to take the product, validate their API, put in for stability, change their filings because finally the API is also in regulated markets. So this is the gradual scale up to which this product can go. That is the number that we had said. This number is not meant for this particular year.
Understood. And the visibility still remains?
Yes, it still remains.
Understood. So yeah, that's it. Best of luck. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Tushar Bora from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. And thank you to the management for clarifying on a number of issues and points surrounding the company. So my first question is, ma'am, you've highlighted a number of initiatives in the second half of the year. You know, the scale-up of the liquid anesthetic from Ambernath, launch of the contrast media product. Also, I think we're scaling up on the cardiovascular drug. We've highlighted few initiatives for the coming years as well. Is it fair to say that we should have a much stronger ramp-up second half of this year, entering into next year, compared to the current run rate of the company? That's my first question. Second, while we maintain a 20% growth trajectory, would it be fair to assume that there is potential for higher number than the 20%, and how well prepared is the management, let's say if there's a 30-35-40% kind of a possibility for growth in a given year, how well prepared is the management from a process standpoint and scale-up standpoint to handle that kind of a growth trajectory? What are we doing to strengthen that, you know, the capabilities of the organization to handle that kind of a growth trajectory?
So yes, to answer to your first question, the ramp-up would definitely be much stronger in the second half of the year for this financial year. As far as the next couple of years' growth is concerned, yes, there is a potential to grow beyond the 20% because we are, like I mentioned before, we are working on multiple different fronts, right from addition of capacity to addition of new products, new verticals. There are a lot of CMO opportunities also which are under discussion at this point at a very initial stage. So keeping in mind the different areas in which the management is working, there is definitely potential in the business to grow beyond that 20% as well. A lot of these things are also a result of how fast the regulatory approval comes because we operate in a very regulated environment. 80%, beyond 80% of the revenue comes in from export, and in that also a large chunk of it comes from regulated markets. So getting the right regulatory approvals for the products, for the new facilities is very, very important for that scale up to happen. But definitely keeping in mind all the efforts that the management is putting and the product pipeline that we have and the other products which are also ramping up slowly, there is potential in the business to grow beyond that 20%.
Thank you. Matt, just a follow-up to this. We are, probably at a stage of the company where we are going to work increasingly with the innovators and the bigger companies. You highlighted on the liquid anesthetic, we have few opportunities coming up, the DSM contract, obviously. So I believe that, you're going probably more towards a CMO journey. Also with this incident that has happened around the technical labs of that consignment, that gives the company an opportunity to strengthen our processes and controls, maybe prepare for a much larger organization ramp up in terms of capability of the organization. Can you just highlight what is being done in this regard to strengthen the company's processes and controls?
Yes, absolutely. I think we are working a lot in internally strengthening our systems more. As we speak, we are actually under a SAP implementation, so we'll be live in another 4 to 5 months. We should be live with our SAP, which will further, you know, strengthen our internal system. And even on a lot of the other fronts, I mean, we are introducing a lot of automation. Even at the site quality level, we have implemented different softwares like TrackWise, which are very important for quality management systems and the documentation part of it. So a lot of efforts have been going on in the background to further improve and make it a more system-driven organization.
Thank you, ma'am. One last, if I may, quickly. One last question, if I may.
Yes.
So, given that we've been highlighting about the entire China plus one, multiple times in the previous quarters, we have been highlighting how we intend to take away volumes from China on specific products. We've also been quite vocal about the CDMO, CMO opportunities. Can you just highlight what all action is being done in that regard and what kind of maybe, you know, potential collaborations or let's say product initiatives that we can expect over the next, say, 1 to 2 years? How serious are we to build that CDMO journey?
So we are working very seriously on the CDMO journey. The liquid anesthetics would probably be one of our biggest areas of collaboration with an innovator, where the opportunity size could be pretty big. So that project is ongoing and it is moving quite well. At the same time, we also have another 4 or 5 APIs as well as advanced intermediate, where we have already started talking to customers from regulated markets, where we are gaining good traction. However, those projects are at an initial stage. Also, Ambarnath, which is a very predominantly CMO, CDMO driven site, we have already launched 2 anesthetic products, finished formulations, and we already have about 5 or 6 products in the pipeline, tablets, injectables, where we are also seeing good collaboration opportunities from customers in Europe as well as North America. So I think in the next 3 to 4 years, because for CDMO, I think 1.5 to 2 years is a very short period of time. But I think in the next 3 to 4 years, CMO, CDMO will come up as one of the company's strongest verticals.
Thank you so much, ma'am. I'll join back in with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rishabh Tripathi, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the line of, since we are talking about CMO, CDMO, so a lot of R&D effort would be going on in this direction. But at the same time, molecules come and go. Every project would not be successful, but there would be a lot of learning coming out of it. So can we highlight some of the learnings over the last couple of years in this journey of moving towards CMO, CDMO that we have had, key learnings from maybe success and failure? And additionally, what are the internal structure that we have so all these learning get captured? So one learning from one project can be transformed and can be used in the other project. So what type of processes, setup, or maybe some techniques that we are doing so that learning do not leak and can get captured for the long term? So that's my first question.
Yes, I think CMO, CDMO has taught us a lot in the last 2-3 years. And specifically, it has helped us strengthen our internal systems. Some small examples that I would like to give here is that larger innovators and larger multinationals focus a lot on the ESG aspects, where we did not have much focus a couple of years back. So going in for EcoVadis, going in for FSSAI certifications, for ISO certifications, I think these are some of the things that we have taken up very aggressively in the last couple of years. And we have made, I mean, we got a silver rating in EcoVadis recently. So it shows that, you know, we are building an organization which will be future ready on these aspects. So a lot of improvement we were able to bring on the ESG aspect because of CDMO, CMO collaborations. The other thing also, we invested heavily in R&D before this, you know, our R&D was heavily focused on life cycle management of products. But with the newer opportunity coming in, we are now focusing on new product launches. We have a dedicated team for CMO-CDMO collaborations. We have also set up a new small pilot plant where we do scale-up of these projects. So I think a lot we have learned in terms of infrastructure upgradation, automation, and how, and we also now have a dedicated project team, right from R&D to pilot to commercial scale-up. We now have a strong CMO-CDMO team in place, which is led by our technical lead, Dr. Shirish Ambekar. So I think these are some of the key things that we were able to take on and further strengthen our organization for CMO collaboration.
Thank you for the elaborate answer. My second question would be around, with all these learnings and the effort which are going into R&D, how we are trying to build a system. Let's say right now we talk a lot about launching products, one product after another, but from going through the block of, let's say, growth of 2-3 years, how we are trying to build a system which thinks in terms of block of 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. So that would be my another question. Thank you.
So like I said, now the strategy is focused on multiple verticals. We are trying to de-risk the business by addition of different verticals into the business. Earlier it was only an API business. Now we are trying to add finished formulation vertical. We are trying to add CMO-CDMO vertical. We are trying to bring in professionals who are, you know, experts in these particular areas. So this is how we are trying to get the organization ready. I also mentioned on the system side, we have implemented in the last 1 year a lot of systems on QMS, quality management system, documentation. We are now under a SAP implementation as well. So this is how we'll also be able to bring the system on par with the people that also we are trying to bring in. So a lot of efforts are ongoing. Capacity building is another thing that we are doing because we see large potential in our new launches, in the new product portfolio that we have. So we also have to build equivalent capacity for the scale-up of that. So all those things are there. Even at the site level, a lot of automation we have been able to bring, gravity flow kind of things, DCS systems where we have been able to reduce manual intervention and bring it more on a automized way. So all those things we have been able to do in the last couple of years.
Thanks. Thanks for the answer. That is helpful. Just one point, like as last participant also mentioned, that since we are moving into direction with interaction with maybe our partners would be of much larger size, innovators, and the other stuff, this compliance piece becomes pretty critical. Any lapse here would it cost us big. So hopefully this is one of the incident which happened and it will not be a recurring thing. Thanks for all the answers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Namrata Manocha from Sadhguru Impix. Please go ahead. Sorry for that disturbance. I think she has put our call on hold. I'm connecting the other participant now. So our next question is from the line of Mithin Shah, individual investor. Please go ahead.
So thank you for giving the opportunity and very good morning. So my question would be like, what is the cash reserves as of now we speak?
Cash figure?
Yeah, cash reserves, correct.
Cash reserves. So, see, we have around 150 crores in FDs and mutual funds.
Correct, correct. So the reason I'm asking you, is there any plan for CAPEX in this fiscal or the next fiscal? And how do we utilize that basically?
See, this would be what do you call for the initial phase of Isambe project, we will be using this.
How much would that be?
That would be 200 crores. First phase would be around 200 crores and which would also, what do you call, the second phase will have a similar number or a larger number, still larger number.
So, and secondly, regarding this North America contribution, I guess it is roughly somewhere around 3% or so. So given, I don't know, what are the tariff rates, that is been imposed on some of the products. How much is that and how do we see the traction given the tariff scenario?
See, as of now, I think after a couple of years, I think there's going to be a 100% tariff on pharma. I don't think the existing scenario, there is not any much tariff on pharma products yet.
Oh, okay. But so the assumption is that there would be the imposition of some harder tariff rates on various products from North America, right?
That would be going forward, yeah. It would be too speculative to answer at this stage.
Got it.
And also, having said that, I
Yeah.
think our exposure is mainly larger at this point in Europe. And
Got
even
it.
for the finished formulations, the larger opportunities for us are coming from Europe. So while, yes, of course, North America will grow in the next couple of years with the new launches and the new CMO/CDMO bucket, I think Europe might remain the larger market for us. So as of now, I don't think we are much affected by the tariffs that are being rolled out.
Got it. So it was never a larger pie of the exports, am I right?
Just because of the inherent nature of the product portfolio that we had, as of now, the product portfolio that we have predominantly has a larger market share in Europe and Latin American markets. So those two are our highest revenue regions.
Got it. That answers my query, and thanks a lot for being so candid, and really appreciate and wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jason, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Thank you, ma'am, for giving the opportunity. As the company is scaling its CDMO/CMO business, I believe scientific talent will be a key differentiator. Could you share your plans around expanding the R&D and technical team over the next 3 years? Are you investing in hiring experienced scientists or building specialized capabilities or ecosystem to support this growth?
Yes. So we have already done a lot of investment in R&D in the last 2 years. Earlier, we only had one single R&D out of our Lote site, which was mainly life cycle management. Now we have expanded that R&D also. Plus, we have also started a new R&D at Ambernath, where there are two segregations. One is for API and the other one is for finished formulations. So as we speak, in the last, I think, 2-3 years, our R&D strength has gone from, I think, about 20-30 to almost 70 people now. So we have added people in R&D, and we have also added new verticals like finished formulation in our R&D.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Achal Maheshwari from Naredi Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity again. Ma'am, as we move towards the formulation side of the business over the next few years, do we see any further margin improvement from where we are today?
No, I think the margins would remain where we are today, mainly because there we are looking at CMO/CDMO kind of opportunities. So I think for the next couple of years, and also the other reason being that in our portfolio, we are constantly adding new products where the scale-up first happens in the semi-regulated markets and then in the regulated markets. So now this cycle will keep on going for the next few years. So I think the margins would remain at that 33%-35%, at least for the next 3 to 4 years.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions in the queue, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Supriya Life Science Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.